Morning. This is the BOA hearing. Today is Wednesday, August 14th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-275-23 and E-276-23 for appellants Ratneeshwar Motel Inc. and Southridge Hospitality LLC with parcel numbers 1-1089-3BP-3395. -001-1689-103-0000-012. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial hearing. We usually allow an hour for these. I'll ask the appellant to go first, followed by the assessor, and then we'll have some questions back and forth along the way. Before we start, Mr. Politica, I want to ask the assessors on their package if they could quickly recalculate their sales data on a per room or per key basis, as well as the subject property. You have a square footage. What's that?
I have done that. Yeah, I have it here.
Oh, you have it here. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, Mr. Politica, you may proceed.
Okay. So I'll start with my evidence packet. It's a similar layout to the ones you've seen before. So the first page there after the title page is the summary of the property, built in 2015, 80 rooms on 2.7 acres. And you can see there some of the amenities at the property with a pool and a fitness center. The meeting space and a business center. The next page is our requested value of $9,131,500. And to get to that, you've seen our income approach. In this case, the 2018 through 2022 summary of their income and expenses and a capitalization of essentially the 2022 income with some adjustments there. The adjustments come in with an adjustment to the management fees that the actual hotel management charges compared to a market management. And so we adjust that one up to a more average market rate of 4%, and then the property taxes are also a minor difference there in the expense, and then added back in. So you can see there net operating income of $799,115 with the taxes added back in for $890,000.
I thought we were
doing the Hampton Inn.
I thought we were doing the La Quinta at 9. That's what's scheduled here.
Right. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah, I'm having trouble finding the numbers. Yeah.
When you first said 9 million, I was thinking we got the wrong one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on Mountain Time right now. So it's 10 a.m. for me and it's 9 a.m. for you guys. So yeah, that's my fault. I apologize. I'll go. I've got them both open.
Okay.
So I'm switching over to the correct packet here. Well, same thing, same layout, summary report, built in 2007, 64 rooms, and similar with this one also has a fitness center, a pool, and a business center. So our requested value on this one is $4,704,000 compared to the assessment of $6,189,130. And so on this,
I thought it was 9,880,000. Well, you go anyway. I'm lost on the numbers.
I think you're on the other package, Peter.
Yeah,
this one's.
Oh,
we're on 704. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah. My mistake.
And that 407 is different than the actual petition, right? Which was 39.
Correct. It's an amended amended than from what the petition stated.
Okay, that's fine. I just want to make sure.
Okay. And so this one on the income approach on page A1-2, you can see, the same 5 years historical summary there. But in this case, the income and the net operating income hasn't quite recovered to pre-COVID levels. And so in this case, we apply a more stabilized income back to a higher projected income than what was seen in 2022, and our expenses are the ratios, expense ratios for each year there, excluding 2020, since those ratios will kind of skew it. So it's 2018, 2019, 2021, and 2022 expense ratios applied to a projected income, which is based off of the ADR that is seen in the competitive set for the 2022 December STR report and the occupancy seen in the competitive set. So we apply that kind of market occupancy and ADR, and then use the subject's historical expense ratios to arrive at an NOI of $454,587. And we capitalize that with a unloaded 8.5% cap rate and loaded with the 2022 tax rate to arrive at $4,802,997. We then deduct the personal property assessment to get to our requested value for the real estate at $4,704,000.
I'm still a little troubled by your 8.5%. I see where you got it from, but it's troubling when I look at it. It's much higher than other cap rates we've seen in this area.
Well, yeah, it's hard to, there's not a lot of reported cap rates on sales in the past since interest rates have increased so much. And so, we're relying on the investor surveys and the CoStar submarket report, because anything prior to, early 2023, when interest rates really started to ramp up, is going to be a lower cap rate with the lower borrowing cost. And so, yeah, not just in this market, in all markets, they're just not being reported as to, they were prior to pre-COVID and interest rates kind of increasing. So we're stuck with market reports. And they can also, a lot of the cap rates, there's just so much, it's difficult without knowing what that property's income is and how that cap rate, is applied there to the sales price. But either way, yeah, you know how we get to 8.5% with there,
right.
and you've seen this just to support, you know, in our income approach where we take the 4% deduction for FF&E reserves, and in this case we take a 3.5% or 3.7% deduction for management fees. Those are supported by the STR, you know, survey here for upper mid-scale class reserves and replacements, as well as you can see there, I didn't highlight it, but the management fee in that same class is 4.3%. And the PricewaterhouseCoopers survey for this, you know, they're showing 4.5% reserves and 3.9% for management fee. So we reconcile those to get to 3.7 management and 4% for reserves. The next is the submarket report you've seen for the 8.5% cap rate.
One question, I'm a little troubled by your, you know, furniture, fixture, and equipment reserve, because that's all personal property, right? And this is a real property valuation. So you're kind of mixing the two together. I understand that's what you normally would show an investor, but for ad valorem purposes, I think we would want to exclude that. So, okay, continue.
Well, it's a deduction to reserve, yeah, for replacements of not only personal property items, but of also, you know, things in the room, just any miscellaneous broken things. And also it builds up reserves for under a franchise, you're required to maintain the property at a certain level, and also the planned improvements over, you know, a certain period of time. Each franchise has their different years of when they do it, and so it's for that. But and I've also, if it was this evidence packet or the previous one, either way, it's submitted one of them. It shows the income approach, a CBRE report, and it's the Rushmore method, which we're, you know, that's what we follow, and that's just what it does to deduct as an expense. But either way, I'll move forward.
CoStar report for occupancy on page A1-12, you know, I plotted, you know, I took the numbers from your occupancy percentages from your valuation sheet and plotted them here. And they're obviously different from what CoStar is reporting, right? Your numbers are a little, well, in one case it's higher. And in the first year it's higher, and the subsequent years it's lower. So that's the problem I have with some of these composite reports, that they're not based on the actual property, they're based on apparently amalgam of properties. So okay. But that's also where you're getting your 8.5%, right? So that's why I have some trouble accepting, you know, when I see these kind of high level reports, it's something you have to impute and say, well, that applies to every property in the thing. But obviously there's a range, right? Those are midpoint numbers, and you have, you know, high numbers and low numbers and around that. So
sure. Yeah, there is a range, and so, you know, a property that in this scenario with a below stabilized net operating income, you know, that's going to be looked at as a much higher risk to an investor and command a higher cap rate than probably the average property in one that is has a higher net operating income than and historically performed higher than, you know, its competitive set, or its income is historically better than most of properties in the area. Now that property would probably command a lower cap rate and, you know, be a lower risk investment. So with limited support and data on reported sales, you know, like I said, we're stuck with investor surveys and submarket reports.
On your page A135, you have 4 reported sales. I think that's adequate, right? It's not. There's obviously a wide range there, and it depends on what types of hotels or motels they are relative to the subject.
Yeah, and you know, in there's and in that in the you know, publication on the Rushmore method, it states that the sales, there's just so much unknown in a sales price, and each of those sales, they're not the buyer is not buying them on a comparable sales analysis. They're buying them on an income approach, and so that's why it's a good test of reasonableness on a price per room of what each of those hotels' income, you know, came out to be. And without knowing those NOIs, I can't calculate, you know, what that cap rate would be. But you can do some estimates here and there, and you know, generally I would, in this, it seems like the range for hotels is, you know, 7.5% to 9.5%. It's an 8.5% cap rate falls kind of in that range. This is all, you know, I didn't supply any of this in my evidence. But those, well, I would be, you know, I'm fairly certain that each of those purchases, they're done on a income approach analysis, and that's how they're being bought and sold. So that it's like, so it's just used as a test of to confirm what your income analysis is kind of coming to. Then you test that against the market and see what other properties are selling for. And
well, based on your evaluation, what is your price per room then?
It was just after the deduction of the BPP assessment, it was just over 114,000 a room. Let me get back up to it.
Okay. All right. But you've made no, you know, in the sales here, you made no adjustments. And you're not telling us when they were sold. So.
Yeah. I apologize. I was thinking of the other packet I had open that I was looking at. So this property is 75,047 a room, then deduct the personal property to 73,500. And so.
So 73, what, 500?
Yes.
Well, I hope you can see that that's well below the sale price of the other properties, right? On a per room basis.
Sure. And like I said, with this, you can see the net operating income and the historical performance of this property. I don't, without knowing those, it's hard to say, but you know, this one's, its actual income is barely, you know, profitable last year. So either way.
Right. But as I explained last time, in the state of Washington, the legislature has, you know, set that for both the assessor and for the board, that we're supposed to evaluate valuation based on sales first, cost second, and income third. So here I'm looking at your sales data, And it's well below the other sales on a per room basis. So that doesn't give me high confidence that income analysis is correct. So, okay, we'll move on.
Yep. Well, you know, I'll finish off with, you know, the end of this packet is the P&Ls in the summary and then the STR report showing the subject's performance compared to its competitive set. And you can see on the running 12 months, you know, it's
what page are you on?
It's the last 5 pages of the packet. So it's
It's after the Yoring sheet there.
Yeah. So the STR report here, 2022, you know, shows that compared to other properties, you know, the subject is having a hard time keeping up with the market, which, you know, in our analysis and income approach sort of accounts for why it's below the few sales in the area over the past few years. And so, you know, based on our income approach, I understand that the legislature and everything with the sales and costs, you know, we believe that the income approach is the way that the market value should be derived. And so we ask that the board, you know, recognize that and reduce it to our requested value.
Okay. Well, let's hear what the assessor has to say at this point, and we'll ask them about some of the stuff too. So, Larry, are you doing this one?
Yeah. So, I would start off by saying, the reason the income approach is unreliable is for a lot of the reasons he said. They don't have the accurate data. People don't, you know, they don't report their income. They don't report their expenses. So it's a guessing game. And so that's why we rely on sales. With our sales that we have an adjusted range per room of $158,787 to
$75,048. So you're on page 7, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. So could we speak to your averages and median prices then?
Yeah. So our median per room is $97,467. Which is right at our assessed value of $96,705. Their sales actually have, the sales provided by the petitioner actually support $114,974 median price per room. So as far as the sales go, we believe it's well supported, the assessed value by the sales.
Okay, wait a minute. You said based on the appellant's data, it was how much per room?
They have a median price per room off their 4 sales of $114,974 per room.
Okay. Unadjusted.
Unadjusted. That's right.
Okay. 114 and what?
974.
And that's average?
That's the median. Average is 116,054.
Okay.
Which puts it, just going off their median, would put the value at $7,358,336.
Well, let me ask you some things. I mean, obviously, from the data he's presenting, this seems to be a below average performing hotel, at least based on the data we're given here. Yeah. How does that affect the valuations?
Well, I would say, one, we don't know if those are audited numbers or where they're coming from. As far as the cap rates and stuff, you know, they're low, they're unreliable. And the other thing is,
they're not low.
The other high, I mean, sorry. The other thing is, you know, if there's poor management and that's the reason why it's underperforming, you know, we can't, you know, that's not, you know, our fault as far as evaluation. So based on the sales around it, it should be performing better.
Okay. Earlier you gave me a range of per room values from what was that from the high, low and high of the range?
So the low is 65,289. And the high is 158,787. And that's drawn from the six comparables that were provided.
Right. Oh, see. How do those tap? Do those match what he's given us here? Let's see. Yeah.
They're pretty close.
So he has, okay, 4107, sale amount 11,650. Okay, that's okay. 1970, Parkway. You know, well, your price is slightly different than his, but it's close enough. 1701 Quinault. 4850, good. Yeah. 1370 Tapteal, 18, good. Okay, so you're pretty much using the same data, and you found a few other sales that he didn't then, right?
Yeah, yep. And we, you know, some of ours are even lower. We were trying to find as much data as possible, you know, to be fair. And yeah, so some of them are a little lower, but they're a little lower grade hotel. And that would explain why. I would also say that our cost approach, you know, we're significantly under the cost approach. Let me see here. So our cost approach on page.
Page five.
You know, we're coming in at $8,728,000. And, you know, we're $2.5 million over RSS value and $4 million over their estimated value. I would say based on the sales and on the cost approach that the assessed value is supported, you know, even using their sales. And as far, like I said, as far as the income goes, the data is just unreliable. You know, the petitioner said multiple times that, you know, they can't get income information from the sales. They can't get this. Well, that makes for a lot of guessing, you know, and a lot of estimating without support.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. In the past, you guys have shared with us capitalization rate data that you gathered from, you know, local sales. What can you tell me about this 8.5% that the appellant is using?
You know, I didn't even get into any of the cap rate stuff. I thought we were supported by the sales and the cost approach, and I didn't even get into it. So I know that notoriously Tri-Cities is its own market, and we don't feel everything that the rest of the nation feels. You know, if you'll remember in 2010, you know, the rest of the country crashed during the subprime lending. We slowed down here. We really didn't feel it like everyone else, you know, and so it's hard to take these national numbers and apply them to our area.
Yeah. Now on the CoStar, they refer to a Yakima Tri-Cities submarket. So are you basically saying even Tri-Cities is even different than that submarket?
Well, it's somewhat similar, but CoStar is, you know, notoriously, you know, I wouldn't say bad, but they're not exactly accurate, you know. They just have known to be unreliable with their capitalization rates.
Okay. And you say that from experience, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, we really like to rely on the local sales and stuff. And without audited income and expenses, it's hard for us. You know, like, you know, if they're deducting FF&E and then they're also deducting personal, you know, it's kind of double dipping on that. And then, you know, there's just lots of ways to work the numbers.
Okay, I understand. Yep. Let's see. Any response, Mr. Politika?
No.
Okay. Chuck, Peter, questions?
I don't have any.
I think you're, Peter, I think you're muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we have what we need on this one. Let's move to the second one then. This would be for the Southridge Hospitality Hampton Inn.
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Okay, let me unpack this here. Okay. So 11 versus 9-6. Okay. Mr. Politician, you may proceed. Yeah, both of these are very close to me, so I'm very familiar with these two hotels.
Let's see here. This hotel. This one was, as I said, built in 2015 with 80 rooms on 2.7 acres. Amenities include a pool, a fitness center with some meeting event space and a business center. Classified as an upper mid-scale hotel. Our requested value, $9,131,500, compared to the assessment of $11,062,670. You can see on our income approach, the 2018 through 2022 summary of income expenses there. You know, you can see the pre-COVID net operating income, a little over $1 million, and still not quite all the way up there. But if you look at the room revenue and the overall revenue, you can see that the revenue is back up, you know, at or above.
Yeah, it's above
pre-COVID
yeah.
levels. Mm-hmm. It's the expenses right. that have also increased, and so, you know, to us, it's hard to project what inflation will do and expenses will do over the next few years, and so we look at this income as a stabilized net operating income for now, and as I said, we made a few adjustments to the previous year's income, you know, increasing the management fee to a more market. What would be expected as a market management fee, and then the taxes are adjusted based on, you know, the previous year. It must have had a big decrease in the tax rate, but we apply that to the 2022 tax rate. Our value, you can see kind of the calculation there at the bottom to get to the taxes, which are then just added back in as, to the NOI, and then the cap rate's low, or the cap rate's loaded. So that gets to our.
Yeah. Is it fair to say then your data is based on pro forma data? You were talking about some adjustments being made.
Yeah. I mean, it's based on the historical operations with a pro forma kind of look at it. Adjustments to those, you know, the actual
right.
income, just based on, you know, some things like management fees, if it's self-managed or they charge, you know, a lower fee or whichever, a buyer would look at a more market fee for management and having it, you know, managed by a different company rather than themselves. And so That's the adjustment there. You know, we also apply the 4% reserves for replacement, which I've gone over. So that gets to our requested value, or our, you know, the value of $9,405,000. We deduct the business personal property assessment to get to the real estate value of $9,131,500, which you can see below that comes to $114,144 per room. And so same as, you know, I've gone over before, our support for that management fee and reserves for replacement comes from the STR survey, and as well as the PricewaterhouseCooper investor survey, which.
Could I point out a couple of things then? On page, the CoStar report, A1-9, there's a comment as of May, the 12-month average RevPAR in the Yakima Kennewick Hotel summer was firmly in the green and climbing at an annual rate of 6.4%. That's even stronger than the 1.1% increase observed in the broader Washington State USA market. I mean, to me, that comment suggests a higher valuation than an average valuation. And then when I go to page A1-11, and I do the same thing I did on the other hotel, and I plug in the actual values against this plot, well, your average value, your actual values are well above what these average plot values are. So again, that's telling me this is a higher value property than what your income approach would suggest.
Well, let's see. On my income approach, in this one, I am using, I'm using the subject's performance, which is higher than what the market suggests.
Right.
The subject's performance, I am using the occupancy rate at 85%. The ADR is above, and the RevPAR specifically is above what those graphs do show. And so I think in this case, and it, out of all the hotels we've gone over, this one certainly is the best operating, you know, pre-COVID with an NOI. Well,
it's
over
it's a newer property. Mm-hmm. It's a newer property. I suspect one of the reasons maybe your that first hotel we looked at is struggling a little bit is because there's been two new hotels have been put in the same area, right? Including this one, and there was actually one built right next to it too. So I think that, you know, it's probably just competition, and there was also another nice hotel across the highway from that. And so there's a lot of hotels right in that area, primarily to support the Southridge Sports Complex, I would believe. So, okay. I think you have
George, George, can I ask a question?
Sure, Chuck.
I'm not the financial guy here. You guys are, but I was looking at the last.
You seem to hold your own, Chuck.
the Quinta one, the numbers were calculated on what's called the capitalization of 2023 pro forma. This one's capitalization of the 22 actuals. And I'm.
Well, with
what's the difference there, or why use different numbers, I guess?
Yeah. Well, it's due to on the La Quinta, you know, it was performing well below historical pre-COVID numbers. And so we're looking at it. We did a more of a projection to stabilized income. And on this one, we look at that revenue, and it's performing above pre-COVID and performing well. So we look at capitalizing that previous year with a few minor adjustments to the industry. And so, because if on that La Quinta you look at 2022, it was their lowest performing year outside of 2020. And so to cap, if we were to capitalize that, it would be a very low value and not anywhere near what would be expected as a stabilized income stream. So I used the historical expenses on that one, excluding 2020, and did a projection using the market data from the STR report for the competitive set to project a revenue stream, and then the subject's expenses down to, you know, essentially a stabilized NOI. So that's why that one's labeled 2023 pro forma, and this one's labeled 2022 historical with industry adjustments. Is that in this case, it's performing very well to a pro forma projection on this one would bring that revenue stream lower using the competitive set around it. This one appears to be one of the better operating, at least revenue wise, hotels, you know, that I have access to their financials. So that's sort of why we're looking at, in this case, on this hotel specifically, that last year, you know, revenue wise, they've done well and above their historical performance. So if that answers it.
Chuck and Peter, are you still there? All I see are your names. I don't see any video of you guys. Did we lose them, Marcel?
We're still there.
Yeah, I see you guys. Yes. And then on page A134, those are the same sales you had in the first package, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. Yeah. There's
okay.
For what we have access to, those are the only sales within the past year or two that you know, would be in a reasonable consideration of comparableness to the property. I think there may have been some other real low ones that are, you know, sold for land value, or some real beat up ones, distressed sale or something. So yeah, these are the sales, and that's when, you know, I'm not sure there's enough to do a full comparable sales approach.
Well, I saw the assessor found three more, so
yeah, they didn't come up in my search. I'll have to and look into those for.
I think they maybe went back. Analysis. Looks like they went back into 19. I don't know.
Okay, that's and we tried. You know, we try to look at anything post COVID, and it's hard. But you know, really for a 23 valuation and looking, you know, thinking of 2024, the impact of interest rates on commercial real estate and hotels is pretty significant. There's not a lot of transactions going on, so. But either way, I don't know if I answered their question.
Yeah, I think you did.
Okay. The P&Ls are provided, the STR report to show, you know, this property's performance against its competitive set and performing, you know, above. In this case, above its competitive set. And so we think that the income approach provided is a good indication of market value, and we ask that the board reduce it to our requested value.
Yeah, when I go to your page A1-57 of your package where you do your competitive evaluation, it's very clear this property is performing above its peers. So.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so let's hear from the assessor at this point.
Yeah.
Hello, guys. This is Chuck. I'm back on.
Okay. Hi, Chuck.
Hi.
Just a sec. I've got Peter on the phone. Let me grab it.
It's the My Place and the Tabasco.
No.
Is it Yakima? Wait, I have one.
Peter just called me and I tried calling him back, but he's not answering. So, what's that, Chuck?
What I did is I called Marisol and got the call in number from her.
Oh, okay.
I think
I was going to call Peter and just have him listening on by my phone, but he's not answering. So.
Okay. Our whole neighborhood is out of power then.
Oh, is that what it is? It's a power issue?
Yeah, apparently. At least for me, it was.
Well, it's probably, you're not that far from him, so.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, Marisol.
Peter should be calling in a minute. I just gave him the phone number.
Okay. Well, we can wait here a moment. Wait for him to call in. Technology is wonderful when it works, right?
Yeah.
Chuck, did you cut out before I could answer your question there, or did you want me to go over it quickly?
Yeah, if you would, I caught just a little bit of the beginning of what you said. I appreciate that. If you would.
Yeah, it was so the income approach on the Hampton Inn here. It's looking at the 2022 income because it's, if you look at the revenue, it's performing, you know, above historical numbers, and it's also, if you look at the competitive set, it's, you know, it's a very well performing property compared to its, in that STR report at the end of my packet, it's, you know, so that's, so we're looking backwards and making a few adjustments on the other, the La Quinta. If you look at its revenue, it's performing, you know, poorly compared to history and poorly compared to its competitive set, and so to try to project a sort of stabilized income at what it could perform at, you know, we do that 2023 pro forma with an ADR and an occupancy based on that market data, that competitive set, and it projects a higher NOI than its last 2 years. And so that's the difference is how its performance has been compared to history and compared to, you know, its market data and the competitive set in the STR report.
Okay, great. Thank you for that explanation. Appreciate it.
Yeah, this is Peter. Can I ask a question?
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah, so Mr. Politica, what's the reason that your clients don't want to provide their audited financials since we're using financial numbers that are relatively accurate?
Oh, I'm not sure they don't want to provide it. I think when we, you know, I think it pushed this to the BTA, I'll get the audited version and share that with the assessor, or put it in my income approach. And I think, you know, we typically don't have much pushback on the P&Ls like this, and so we just request it ones like this all the time and use them. But I think, you know, I've made a note that for Benton County here, that we're going to need the audited versions and show that it's, you know, that the numbers are what they are. So
yeah, that would be great. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. Yep. You're welcome.
At this point, I'd like to hear from the assessor again.
Yeah. Yeah. So pretty much, we're just relying on the sales and on the cost approach again. I think that so we're at $138,283 per room.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Just a minute. Can you give me? Oh, you want to go on? Okay, so let's go back to the top set of your page there, the five, I guess you only have five sales here.
Yeah. And the ones from 2019, they're the lowest, to be honest with you. I wouldn't really even give them much weight. I guess they were just kind of just on there.
So what's the average price per room adjusted?
You know, I'm having trouble finding the average here. I know we have a range of 65,289 to 158,787. The two low ones are the smaller properties. They're the less quality ones. I don't know why it didn't put the median on here. Let me see.
Well, for right now, then what's the subject valued at?
Subject is at 138,283 per room. And, you know, I was looking at.
So it's towards the high end of that range.
It is. I was looking at the sales on his page, A132. On provided by them,
right?
The four sales, and you know they the sales they provided even has you know their comp one has a price per room of 97,000 to 132,386, 185,654, and then the bottom one's 86,607. So you can see there's a big range, just like with us. But with this hotel, with the way it's performing, it, you know, we are at the top end of the range. At the 138, you know, we have two of our sales, which would be comps one and two, which I believe are the most similar, are at 158,787 per room and 140,522 per room, which is above the 138,283. Those are the best comparables, and I believe.
Okay,
and then, as far as the cost approach,
well, just a second, Larry. When I look at his package, this is A134, which lays his out. Now, you don't have quite. You're not overlapping as well as you did on the first package. I only find one of sale that was the same. Two of them, excuse me. Good.
On Comfort Inn.
Yeah, you don't have the 7801 West Quinault and the 1370 Tapteal. You had those on the first package, but not on this package.
I'm looking. What page are you on? I'm sorry, George.
Well, his package A134.
Yeah.
And then I'm comparing to get your page 8.
13.
You had those sales in your first package, but I guess.
I don't know.
Brad did this, I guess, so that could be why.
I took it over for him after it was submitted. 1370 Tapteal. Yeah, we have that one.
That's in there. And the 401 West 27th is in there. Excuse me.
Yeah.
But the 1970 Center Parkway and 7801 Fort Ault isn't in there.
Yeah, let me see what those are. If you don't
find six on this.
Oh, here we go.
All right, you had them in your first package.
Yeah, they are on the first package. Brad, I don't know why Brad didn't include them on here. Couldn't tell you. The only thing I can think of is six.
Well, and then you have a Yakima sale in here. I'm a little leery of the Yakima sale. So.
Yeah, I agree. I would say
Is it okay with you guys if I consider your sales data from your first package to be applicable to the second package as well?
Yeah, of course. And I would say as far as the Quinault one, I think the reason it might have been left off is because it's quite a bit smaller room count, 56 to 80, where the other one was at 64. If you know, the other sales we used, I think have a little bit higher room count. I think that would be the only one. As far as the Center Parkway, yeah, that's very similar room count. I couldn't tell you why.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, also I noticed the subject property is labeled good, whereas the first first three of your subjects are average. So it's a higher rated hotel than what your comps are.
Yeah, if you look at the ST, let's see where it is. The STR chain scales of North America, it lists the rating for them. So it has us at.
Well, what I'm getting at is this maybe argues for a higher valuation than maybe what your range would suggest.
Yeah, like I said, it's definitely at the upper end of the range. The okay. first two comps are the best ones, though.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, the 158.77 and the 142.22. They're both in similar ratings as the subject. And then, as far as cost, let's see what I put here.
Right. Yeah, I have that on page 7, I think. Yeah, 14.9.
Yeah. So, you know, the cost is 3.8 million over our value, and it's 5.7 million over their estimated value. So, it's well supported by the cost approach as well.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, I understand it's hard to get the income numbers. It's tough for us without them being audited, you know, and because they, you know, when they're audited, they will remove certain things that should not be applied. And okay. They have to, and the other thing I would say is, you know, the market here, like you said earlier, you know, it's climbing at an annual rate, you know, 6.4, and it's, you know, quite a bit stronger than the rest of the state of Washington. And that's the other reason why I think sales are more the way to go here in Tri-Cities, just because it's kind of its own beast, you know, with Hanford and everything.
Yeah, I've lived here for over 70 years, so I know all about that.
Yeah, you know all about it. Yeah. Yeah, I have appraisers in other parts.
Okay. Anything further, Larry?
Nope. I think we're good. Yep.
Okay. All right. Mr. Politika, anything further from you?
No, only that, you know, the, that 1370 Tap Teal sale, the Wood Springs Suites, you know, is a sort of one that's at the upper end of the market price per room, you know, that's a portfolio sale, an allocated sales price. You know, you can see I've provided it. Sort right. of the purchase of the portfolio you've seen, and it's, you can tell the sales prices are, you know, allocated in a way when if the total purchase price of that portfolio was $88 million, And so it's just how they allocate it down. But other than that, just to point that one back out, that's all I have.
I would also say that the one on the Best Western on 27th, which is right by the subject, adjusted out at 140, 522 per room, and that's a really good comp. I think that's the best comp out of all of them. So,
is that on your list?
Yeah, it's comp two.
Let me.
I believe it. I'm gonna look at the wrong one again. It better be.
Okay, and the price was there was how much per room?
The price per room on that one. Where did I write it? I got it written down. Oh, 140, 522 per room. And that's
I think you're missing it. Is it 145? Oh, that's a number.
140,522 per room.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I think that's a stone throw from the subject. So.
Well, it's across the highway. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's several hotels right in close proximity to each other, including this subject number two here. Okay. Chuck, Peter, any questions?
Good.
No, I don't have any.
Okay. All right, Marisol, let's close the hearings and we'll go ahead and deliberate.
Thank you, gentlemen.